Brother Larry, it's Nehemiah 8 and 10. I said 4 and 10. It's 8 and 10. And though that is my theme tonight, I'm not speaking from Nehemiah. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 13. John's Gospel, chapter 13. I am speaking on the joy of the Lord is our strength. But in thinking of a title for the message tonight, I was going to put the question, how strong are you? But I finally put the title, the need for the clean to be cleansed. The need for the clean to be cleansed. But it has to do with the joy of the Lord being our strength. And I suppose it was sharing with you some thoughts concerning Lot on Sunday night as we thought about this man, the nephew of Abram or Abraham, who separated himself from his uncle and who got away from the Lord, so much so that Peter tells us that day after day he was vexed. His righteous soul was vexed. That is, he was worn down by the filthy conversations, by the unlawful, wicked deeds that he saw day after day, living in the midst of all of that. And he was worn down, vexed in his righteous soul day after day. He did not have the joy of the Lord. Consequently, he did not have spiritual strength. But God delivered him because he was saved. Peter refers to him as just or justified Lot. So, I think maybe it was because of what I shared with you concerning Lot that caused me to think, well, what about one who is out of touch with the Lord? What about one who is becoming more and more part of this wicked world in which we live? One who's not in fellowship with the Lord, though saved. Now, it's possible that someone or ones in this auditorium tonight are not saved. Well, you need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But what I'm sharing with you tonight is for believers. The need for the clean to be cleansed. John's Gospel, chapter 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knowing, and note the emphasis of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus in these verses. Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself after that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed or bathed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Now you might want to put a marker there, because we'll refer back to John chapter 13. And turn, please, to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John, chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Underscore verse 4 in your thinking, if not actually. Nehemiah 8 and 10, the joy of the Lord is our strength, said Nehemiah. David said in Psalm 16, the last verse, that in the Lord's presence is fullness of joy. I wish you would meditate on these verses that I'm throwing out to you. In the Lord's presence is the fullness of joy. It's wonderful to be in fellowship with God, isn't it? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And John wrote, as we just read, and he's writing to those who believed on Christ, though they hadn't seen Christ. He said, we're writing these things unto you that your joy might be full. We note it in verse 4. But we write these things unto you that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. It's wonderful being in fellowship with Almighty God. It's something that unsaved people know nothing about. They know absolutely nothing. They don't understand it. But we do, don't we? It's wonderful being in communion, in fellowship with Almighty God, to walk in the consciousness of his presence day by day, and to know that you're at peace with God, and to know something of the peace of God ruling in your heart. Being in fellowship with God, it is wonderful. And the Word teaches that God has made provision whereby this fellowship with himself, with his Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, might be maintained. God has called us into fellowship with himself. And the Word emphasizes the importance of not only being in fellowship, but the blessing of being in fellowship, and the ways of maintaining that fellowship. I have said many times, and I know others have, that when we're saved, when we receive Christ as Savior, God sanctifies us. And there is that positional side of sanctification as well as the progressive or the practical side of sanctification. God sets us apart. He sanctifies us because we, as believers, are now his purchased property. And he makes us holy in setting us apart. Ours is a holy sanctification. He makes us holy. Think of it. God makes us holy so that he can fellowship with us, so that he can enjoy us. And he gives to us his own divine nature so that we can enjoy him. Apart from that divine nature, apart from the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God, we cannot have fellowship with God. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, note the past tense, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings. They're already ours. But now it's a matter of enjoying the Lord and what we have in him. And the condition for the enjoyment of this fellowship with God is that we are clean and that we maintain this fellowship with himself. So much is at stake. So much is at stake. Ultimately, the glory of God. Now, we read in John's Gospel, I'm not sure that I had you read John chapter 15 and verse 11, but I'll read it for you. John chapter 15 and verse 11. Now, we read from chapter 13. So now the Lord Jesus is still speaking to his disciples. Keep that in mind. And he said in John chapter 15 and verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Oh, the joy of the Lord. I was so pleased when I sat down and Sister Irma started playing, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." Lord willing, we'll sing that chorus. We can sing an a cappella, sister. I won't have you walk back up. But we'll sing that chorus at the close. "The joy of the Lord is our strength." So the Lord had much to say about fullness of joy, as did John, that we read in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full," we read. Now, the words to which John refers shows that the fullness of joy depends upon fellowship with the Lord. There is no joy apart from fellowship with the Lord. Lot was not in fellowship with the Lord. His righteous soul was vexed day after day. How could he be in fellowship with the Lord? How could he be singing, "The joy of the Lord is my strength"? How could Jonah be singing when he was seeking to go in the opposite direction of God's order? How could he be singing on that ship, out of touch with the Lord, disobedient, "The joy of the Lord is my strength"? He did afterwards, but how could he then? Because there is no joy being out of touch with the Lord. So the fullness of joy depends upon our fellowship. And my brother, my sister in Christ, if the joy of the Lord is not filling your heart, it's not because you're not a believer, and I'm speaking to believers. It's not because you're not a believer. It's because something has happened to break communion with the Lord. Something has come about that has disturbed this communion or fellowship with God. If you're not in fellowship with the Lord, you are not happy. You cannot be happy apart from the Lord. He desires to have you with himself, and his righteousness cannot permit you to be happy in the place of distance from him. Maybe you're familiar with Psalm 51 and verse 12. David cried, and I'm going to have you turn there a little later. Don't turn just now. But Psalm 51 and verse 12. You remember David cried, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." He was not in fellowship with the Lord. That fellowship was broken. He had been disobedient. Nathan had said to him, "You're the man, David. You're the man." And David cried unto the Lord, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." I thought of Naomi, of whom we read in Ruth chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Now, she and her husband had left Bethlehem, the house of bread, and they had gone to Moab on the other side of the Jordan River. They had gone to Moab. You know the story. Naomi wound up coming home, well, I started to say alone, but her daughter-in-law Ruth came with her. But when Naomi returned to Bethlehem, they called her Naomi. And she said, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." There was no joy there in Moab. So much was lost there. They could not sing in Moab, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Fullness of joy is in the presence of the Lord. In his presence is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, basically, we know that, don't we? But we do need to be reminded of it. Not only the fullness of joy, but the peace of God. God's peace, keeping the heart and mind is another sweet privilege of being in communion, being in fellowship with the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 17, we read, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever." Now, would you remember that? The work of righteousness is peace. We've stressed this in other messages. The work of righteousness is peace. Righteousness always comes first. You know, we read in Romans chapter 3, "There is none righteous, no, not one." That's in Romans 3 and 10, isn't it? None righteous, no, not one. Verse 17 says, "And the way of peace have they not known." Because the work of righteousness is peace. Now understand this now, the work of righteousness is peace. Now we say this, or we stress this to the unsaved people. We might say to an unsaved person, "My dear friend, you have no peace in your heart, and you cannot have true peace in your heart until you are righteous in Christ Jesus." When you receive the Savior, when you call upon Him for salvation, He reckons over to your account His righteousness. You are declared righteous in Christ. And the work of righteousness is peace. Peace always follows righteousness. The work of righteousness is peace. And because you're declared righteous, you have peace with God. You know, I think of Melchizedek in Hebrews chapter 7, is it? He was the king of righteousness first, and after that he was king of what? Of peace. Salem, which is peace. Jerusalem, the city of peace. Salem, peace. First, king of righteousness, and after that, king of peace. Peace always follows righteousness. So we stress that to the unsaved. But listen, this is an ongoing principle in the life of the believer as well. There is no peace. Now, as believers, we are at peace with God. But there is not the peace of God ruling in our hearts if we are not right with God. Because the work of righteousness is peace. And if we as believers are not right, we don't have peace. How could we? Out of fellowship with the Lord. So it is an ongoing principle in the life of the believer. The peace of God is to rule, or we might paraphrase that, is to umpire in our hearts. To arbitrate or to umpire in every situation. The peace of God is to rule our hearts. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4 and 7. But we cannot enjoy peace of God in our being if we are not right as believers. This is the reason it's so wonderful to have one pleading and praying for us in the presence of God, who is Jesus Christ the righteous. All right, fullness of joy, peace of God, and service for the Lord. And how many times have we heard that our effective service for the Lord? When I first put down some thoughts here, I put down our service for the Lord will be to the degree of our fellowship with Him. And I looked at that and said, no, that's not right. Because even being out of fellowship as such with the Lord, we can be all wrapped up in a lot of service for the Lord. I injected that word effective. Our effective service for the Lord will only be in keeping with our communion with Him. And you know, that is a hard lesson for us to learn. I speak for myself. It's something basic and elementary, and yet we need to be reminded of it time and time again. We can be so busy for the Lord, and our service for the Lord will become a source of irritation. Whatever it is, it will become a source of irritation if we're not walking in fellowship with God. We have to be so careful. You remember in Luke's Gospel chapter 10, there was Martha, so busy, so Martha's servant. And the Lord said to her, Martha, Martha, twice he called her, I guess to get her attention, Martha, Martha, slow down. Listen to me for a minute. You're cumbered about with much service. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. And what was that good part? Sitting at his feet in his presence, occupied with him. She sat at his feet and heard his word. And in his presence is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Mark chapter 3, verse 14. The Lord ordained 12. Now note what we're reading. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. They were ordained by the Lord to be with him. And then they were sent forth to preach. Let's go back to Psalm 51. Would you turn to that portion now, please? Psalm 51. David said in verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. That's verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. But note verse 13. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. If his service is going to be effective for the Lord, then he has to be occupied with him. He has to have spiritual strength, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted. So the fullness of joy, the peace of God, and service for the Lord all depend, as you and I well know, on maintaining this fellowship. Now, we read in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. If we walk in the light, how can two walk together except they be agreed? We're to have the mind of Christ. We are to walk with him in fellowship. When God instructed Moses about arranging the furniture of the tabernacle, he said, and I'm reading from Exodus 26 and verse 35, God said to Moses, thou shalt set the table, this is the table of showbread, thou shalt set the table without the veil and the candlestick over against the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. And thou shalt put the table on the north side. Now, as I said, this is the table of the showbread. The table was spread with the loaves of showbread, and the priests ate that bread as they stood at the table, always in the holy light of that candlestick or that lampstand. Now the bread is Christ. We know that. But the condition on which we believers enjoy him, the condition on which we feed upon him as the bread, is in the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. This is the condition of this fellowship, walking in the light with him. But all too often, we neglect the light, don't we? Here again, I'm speaking for myself. I'm not excluding Eddie Schwartz. All too often, we neglect the light. And we allow our fellowship with the Father and with his Son to be broken. One of the reasons is we're so busy. We're so busy. We rush into the day and we busy ourselves with so many things. And we sooner or later find that we have left off time with the Lord and we have fallen into careless and unholy ways. I read this afternoon about a man who had been a very active Christian, but had fallen into drunkenness. He was asked later how it happened. How did it happen? You being such a splendid testimony, a friend asked, how could you do such a thing? His answer was, I neglected fellowship with the Lord, and the rest was easy. Well, let's go back to John's Gospel, chapter 13. Look back there to that chapter. The Lord Jesus, knowing all things, and his deity is stressed in several different ways in this chapter, one of which is his knowing. And we read that time and time again. Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And now, verse 3, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper. Note the wording now. He riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself, and began washing the disciples' feet. Here is a picture of the Lord's high priestly ministry. It wasn't just a manifestation of humility. If that were the case, then Peter and the others would have understood. But Peter said to the Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And we read in verse 7 where the Lord said to him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. If it were just a matter of a manifestation of humility, Peter would have understood that. But I believe we have here a picture in action of what the Lord is doing now as our great high priest in the Father's presence. He riseth from supper. The supper speaks of fellowship. He laid aside his garments. Rising from supper seems to indicate that that fellowship was broken. He rising from supper, laid aside his garments. It seems that the fellowship is broken. And so now he needs to deal with that. But there is more. This was the Passover supper, the well-known type of his death. And I believe what is pictured here is not only the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Passover supper, but his burial and resurrection, because he knew he was going back to the Father. And so he said to Peter, you don't understand what I'm doing now. You will hereafter. And so Peter said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? The Lord said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now, he didn't say in me, because there are two different words in the context here. One is the bathing. The Lord said, in essence, you've already been bathed, Peter. You're already clean. But now your feet, you're living on a dirty planet. And the area in which you move about is dirty. And so you're going to have to maintain this cleanness. And the way that that is done, Peter, is by keeping close accounts with me. You need to stay in close fellowship with me. And you need to realize that I am your great high priest who is touched with the feeling of your infirmities, and I am your advocate when you commit some sin. He is Jesus Christ the righteous who pleads and prays for us. He died to save us on the cross, but now as our great high priest, he ever lives to make intercession for us, and he keeps us safe. Hallelujah, what a Savior. But we need this cleansing. He took water, and I believe it speaks of the Word of God. we are kept clean, as it were. In fact, the psalmist said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. If we're going to have part with the Lord, we must be clean. And this cleansing for the believer comes through the word, the water of the word, as we maintain our fellowship with the Lord. Let's sing a cappella that little chorus. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, that's it. There are other verses, but we're just going to sing that. Sing it with me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 Well, maybe I should close with my question. How strong are you? Father, we thank Thee for our time together tonight. We thank Thee for our time of singing and praying together and considering Thy Word together. And Father, most of us, if not all of us in this room, would have to confess that we know these things, but we need to do it. We need to maintain this fellowship with Thyself. Lord, we live in a dirty world, and we realize and readily confess how quickly we can become dirty. How quickly we can become soiled. How quickly we can get out of touch with Thee. Lord, I pray that we will keep close account and that we will seek to maintain this fellowship by spending time in Thy presence in the Word of God. It's there we find the fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Dismiss us with Thy blessings, we pray, in the Savior's name. Amen.